It is Monday the 1st of November. This is episode 67 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along. I'm Chris and I am joined again by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Chris.
How are we this fine evening? It's quite late, so...
I am surprisingly chirpy, but I think that is just to make up from the snooze-a-thon that was the last podcast.
You sound like you've been drinking full fat iron brew or something.
Not purely diet, although my weight gain this morning... I've gained 2 kilos in a day.
I think you need to readdress your... No, I'm not.
My skills, I think, I've got an issue more than me, because I've not...
You did. It wasn't just after your morning ablutions the time before.
I've not taken on more than I should have. You know what I mean.
And you've also gonna maybe make your wallet lighter as well. Yeah, from everything you've been posting on Twitter.
You're
having a little loving.
Me and Shaq were in the Apple Store, and that air shall be mine. It's
for everything you've said. It just. For if anyone wants to know what it feels like to be in the presence of someone who is just, I don't know, in love with Apple.
It's not in love with Apple. It's just when you see like the instant on and how fast it is. I mean, the apps were launching, they were just lighting, and I just thought,
But where would it fit within your life? Come on.
Well, it's interesting.
You've already said
because,
that you don't need it anymore.
Well, in my head, I've got a massive Venn diagram. Just when I look at all the overlap of tech that I've got, and it does need a blog. I've already started crafting a blog post on it, and I might even do
about your Zen, your diagram.
My Zen,
your Zen. Yeah. I don't know. I've podcasts and Zens. Here we go.
It's all good. No, but it is an issue, but I can't resist. I don't think.
I look forward to the blog post actually justifying your purchase then. It's going to happen, you know.
It'll be a blog post talking about why I might buy one. And then it'll be a blog post about, and then it'll be a blog post.
You talk about drip, drip, drip on me, but this is drip, drip, drip on yourself.
Basically,
just,
tomorrow.
Just go for it.
Tomorrow's decision day because my car's in for its MOT.
That makes no sense.
If it passes without incident, then an air could be in my life. If the old putt-putt needs addressing. Then,
if I was a bookie, I wouldn't give you any odds on it happening. It's gonna. So you might as well just.
Don't you start on me? At the start of the year, you were total Mr. Anti-Apple. Now you've got almost as many Apple things as me.
Yeah, but I just don't love them like you do.
Bah.
Let's move on to to our special sound effects episode.
Is that all I'm going to do? Sound effects. You do all the stories. I'll do sound effects.
We've already had this one though. So this is basically, someone has released into the wild as a Firefox plugin a set of hacking tools which they've dressed up in a cutesy name, basically called FireSheep.
Bah.
There we go. So you can download this plugin into your browser.
I thought you were going to say you can download me doing the sheep. I was going to say,
get any requests for that?
Exactly.
For sure. you can actually go out into the wild and sit in a, an internet cafe. And if you're penchant for looking at people's details, illegally, I guess, it's not actually fully legal, but you can go and see if you can scrape some details off people.
Absolutely. And it works for most of the Facebook, Twitter, Flickr. It will, and it shows you a little icon, shows you a little Facebook guy icon and your name, and then, well, hey, there's a password.
And I guess what it's really doing is it's just exposing quite how open to attack you are in on an open wireless network.
Absolutely. And all the developers done is just, as you said at the start of the article, is just dress up what's always been available. So if you went and downloaded the tools and were quite happy to hack around, you could go and do this. It's not something that's brand new. It's just the packaging that's brand new.
But I assume, though, it took some geek knowledge, and it sounds like that they've wrapped this up into a nice, easy-to-use, mum-could-install-it type thing.
Absolutely. But cookies are passed in the clear. Cookie stores the password. Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, it's all. So I guess it's worth pointing out that this is for wireless networks that haven't got any protection on them.
Yeah. So one of the things that you're, I mean, if you do go to a local, you know, net cafe or wherever you go and they've got some, you know, free Wi-Fi, tell them to turn WPA on and put the password up above, because it's, you know, it's the customers will still be able to access the same way, but because it's encrypted, this doesn't work.
I wonder whether does this count for things like what's the O2 network? I can't remember what it's called now. You know, when you
the cloud
free wireless, yeah, the cloud. So because that's, you know, if you've got the right device, you just log straight in. You don't have to do anything, do you?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I wonder.
In some ways, a lot of the solution experts were saying this was actually a good thing, because it will force the hand of you know, Facebook, Twitter, Flickr to actually move to HTTPS, which yeah, Google have done. So
yes, and I guess that there used to be a big server overhead and whatever for doing HTTPS, but we should be in the realms of that being perfectly possible now.
Yes.
I think what it does do is, yeah, it exposes that there is this soft underbelly of the internet, which we kind of overlook and has been known about for a long time, but actually you're fully open to hacking if you're on an open network, which a lot of people are, basically.
Thanks for the advice, Dad.
Okay. Kids, get protection. WPA.
And also, just remember, this is illegal.
Yeah, that is a good point, actually, that although this nice, you know, it's a nice little cutesy thing to download, you go out into the world and use this, you can be prosecuted criminally. It's not just, you know, it's not lightweight stuff here. You can go to criminal court and be put in jail for it.
And one added side effect, this was the first time in a year that I've actually fired up Firefox. So
I have to use it fairly extensively, but yes, it's do you remember it? It's still slow as you remember it.
Oh, criminal.
Well, actually, that's not true. It's only slow since Chrome made it seem slow. Okay, so talking about privacy and tighter controls, we've got Google have announced that they are going to be more stringent with their privacy principles and implementation within their company.
This is all off the back of the Street View cars and all that Wi-Fi capturing, yes, nonsense.
Which has come out that they said initially that it was probably only tiny amounts of packets of data, but they have since announced that it was full on URLs, email addresses, and they've even got some passwords in there. So it's a little bit worse than they initially thought.
And they are, official words, they are mortified by what has happened.
Yeah, that mortified. Really?
I actually thought, as soon as I read that, I was like, Steve Jobs signed up for Google? We are mortified by what happened, but confident that these changes to our processes and structure will significantly improve our internal privacy and security practices for the benefit of all our users.
Yeah, I bet they were flying their flags at half mask and all the employees walking with black bands on. Yeah, sure. So that's a load of rubbish. But nevertheless, it's good to see this response rather than the Facebook for response of what? Huh?
Exactly. Us? So every Google project now will require a privacy design document. So I think that internally they do know they've got to slicken things up a bit.
Yeah, and it sounds like they've put in place the right bits and nuts and bolts.
And the good old Information Commissioner Office are going to reinvestigate in the UK.
But are they?
Yeah.
Because there's more information.
Just because there's more come out and Google have actually and Google have said it wasn't so much them that did the investigation, but it was external regulators that have inspected, yes, it. And that's why, but I think they've obviously known all along what was there.
But the more this data gets more and more investigated, the more chance it is of, you know, escaping into the wild somehow.
Well, the best bit is they just want to delete it, but obviously because of all the investigations, they can't.
They just want to strip the whole thing off their system, and they can't.
Just think, your password could be sitting there right now.
And being viewed by Sweaty Kev from the local council, yeah.
Sweaty Kev. Every council has a Sweaty Kev.
More than one. again, on to keep it on the Google strand, we have Android Marketplace, who are moving on up the numbers of apps, and they've got 100,000 in there now. No saying that they're any good, I guess. 100,000 apps in the Android Marketplace.
And I'm sure it's just the same issue as the Apple or the App Store and the iOS devices. You've just got so many that it's now, what's decent? You know, because I think they're talking about 250,000 in the App Store, but, you know, are 10,000 decent? Or 20,000.
How many
decent?
Do you actually end up seeing either? You know, it's virtually none of them. You just see the top 25s. Occasionally you scroll down to more, don't you?
I think I've got about 400 apps now.
Wow. The app store of Ian.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I could start up my own app store.
Searching, we thought that search was entirely off the agenda now, with Bing having taken up anything that Google left behind. But we have still got some people trying to innovate in the search market, including a new company called Blecko.
And I've got to say, diplomatic immunity.
From South Africa.
Thanks for clarifying that. All impact lost.
Never. No, the impact of that is never going to be lost. So, an interesting take. Now, I don't quite get... I mean, it looks like they're amalgamating human corroborated search results into the sort of algorithmic results.
So they've got this, they've basically called it a slash tag. So if you do a search and you search for like migraines, they'll automatically know that falls into a category of health. And within that health slash tag, they have selected a number of websites that they will then query for whatever you're looking for.
So it kind of is like the old Yahoo type indexing.
Or what's the other one that Jason Calcanis is running? I'll find it in a minute.
I heard some furious clicking going on there.
Mahalo. So that kind of idea of user generating the results for you, and you go and look at the topic, and it's almost like a Wikipedia sourced page of content.
And I guess there, I can see the advantage in it for main topic areas, but I mean how useful it's going to be beyond that, I don't know.
So they've had 8,000 users during its beta testing, mm-hmm. or its alpha testing. I think it's now saying it's in beta right now.
Yes, yeah, it's called public beta now, so it means that you can actually get on it on BLEKO.com.
Blecko. And do you know, if we're going to be the only ones that think that.
Yes. you won't find this anywhere else.
For no other reason. but one of the side effects is that they reckon if you go into Google now or Bing and you do a search, you just get a hold of spam. And so if you do a search for a Sony TV, all you get are, it's not the actual here's the specs and here's the review, probably the things you want to see first of all. It's a here's the place we're selling it for the least price, or here's this place, or here's that place, or here's some spam website.
Or here's a shopping site that we've got it on, you know, we've got that particular model on.
Yeah,
and it does seem like the search engines more and more, it's just how much money have you got to shove at search engine optimization, and how risky do you want to go with what you do. I mean, I've seen plenty of examples where people just, you know, they create whole websites just with trying to sell their own product and sort of acting like it's a fake review and things. It's getting pretty nasty in the search engine market.
It always has been.
Maybe a human touch is what's needed.
Yeah, I think it always has been. I think it's just it's how important getting that first page. I remember when they changed to the instant search, it was how important to getting those, you know, first returned results. And it's just all game in it. It is just a big game for a lot of people. You know, just to try.
And it costs an awful lot of money. And you know, as a small setup, you're competing against, you know, massive firms.
Yeah.
So Blake, I mean, your minimum you're going to be spending is, you know, 300 to 600 quid a month, and that's an awful lot of money for someone who's not selling a lot.
It's just hard to get traction. Yeah. And but I mean, Blecko, they're backed by $24 million, so it's and it's been 3 years in the making, so this isn't just somebody had an idea last month and they've launched something very quickly. This has got a lot of thought and a lot of effort behind it.
Which is fine, but I mean, the fact is that Bing's got far more thought and far more money behind it.
Yeah, but they're not trying to do something like this. So Bing is still...
You think it's going to get traction?
Well, Bing is still fully algorithmic, as is Google. And the whole point of this is to do something different, you know. So
you ever think you're going to get my mum and dad saying, oh, I'm going to go and Blecko that?
But will they get enough market share that they don't need your mum and dad?
Well, it depends what they need for their market share, I guess.
Yeah, and that's what we don't know. We don't know the business model behind it and how that's going to scale over time. Certainly if you, I mean, the thing that always attracted me to Google was quality. I could find things quickly. And if there's another site that allows me to find better things quickly, then I will swap over.
They'll be open to, I guess, got to be careful that they don't accept payments for, well, this is the thing, indexing.
Or it's not so much payments, because it's been, because you can set up your own slash tag and put in your own sites. How do I know that you're not being paid? And I think that's going to be the issue. How do they stop?
So is it up to, so I could create my own thing, could I?
Yeah, so that's, I think that's how.
So what happens in multiple slash tag situations where I want to use one that's already been used?
I don't know.
We don't know the answers. Anyway, yes. Yeah, so there's some questions here for me, but you know.
Well, the bit I couldn't figure out was what's to stop me. And you'll see when you visit the site, there's like, you know, some, you know, Scoble and a few other kind of big tech personalities. But what's to stop them being paid to put certain websites in their slash tags?
Exactly, and then those websites, you know.
You know, so Sony's bringing out a telly this month. I'll add Sony in, and also they've given me a new telly. Fantastic.
Well, yeah, and the rest. So 24 million to set that up. Mere pennies. Microsoft's been talking about their record money making in most divisions, I think it's fair to say. Ignore online, and they're doing very well indeed.
Yes. So 16.2 billion revenue. And again, that's just a quarter. We're in a recession. The economy's on its arse. But a 25% increase in the same period last year.
That sounds pretty good to me.
By division, Windows Live, 3.32 billion. Business is 3.39 billion. Entertainment and devices, 382 million. That's a bit squiffy.
Yeah, I mean, what's that all about?
Yeah. And the online division last quarter lost 560 million.
But I mean, say, when you line it up against... you line it up against these other sort of divisions making so much money, they can afford to, you know, have a lost leader, because they're still, although...
But they've lost $2 billion making, in a year.
Yeah. So they're losing the money, but if it's adding to their brand and overall knowledge, then, and, you know, in strength in some ways, then you can afford to have that lost leader when you're making that much money elsewhere.
I don't know.
No? Well,
obviously they think so. And obviously, well, still,
and clearly, if they think that it's going to be the future, then they have to.
They've got to
take that loss now, knowing in the future it will become stronger.
And I think that's why you're seeing the deals with AOL and all that kind of good stuff. They know the position they're in and where they've got to shift over to.
Just wish they knew how to make consumer devices.
Ah, well, there's a couple other companies that know how to do that.
And I guess their phones come in quite good.
Well, the phone did get good reviews.
Yeah, it has. Very good reviews. Much better than I was expecting, actually.
Yeah. One little tidbit, which kind of ties up with the next few stories, so I thought it was worth mentioning. Silverlight.
So Silverlight's Microsoft's equivalent of the Flash platform, isn't it?
Yes. And obviously a lot of companies have invested in it. A lot of developers have invested a lot of time and effort into it and flipped over from Flash to Silverlight. But they kind of announced a major shift with Silverlight last week, and that they've now said it's a development platform for Windows Phone. And it has some sweet spots for media applications, but its role as a vehicle for delivering a cross-platform runtime appears to be over. Our strategy has shifted, is how Muglia put it.
And I guess if you kind of focus it now based on the phone, it does mean that you can do... You know, you can implement lots of things much more quickly because you don't have to worry about it being cross-platform.
Yes, obviously, I mean, as we mentioned there, you know, Netflix have spent a hell of a lot, you know, setting up their site in Silverlight. I think back to, was Olympics not all done in Silverlight? You know, there was a whole load of effort.
Yeah, because Silverlight was pushed itself as a really good media delivery, so especially video delivery platform, where it was much more versatile than Flash video.
Definitely.
Because it had a different way of, you know, it could stream different bit rates and things.
That was their focus, definitely.
So, yeah, I imagine that someone like a Netflix, well, if the support is still there for their particular use and it's not going to go away, well, it doesn't really make any difference, does it, to them?
No, and interestingly, what they were actually doing was putting their weight behind HTML5.
Which sounds like a good thing.
Yes. So, but today, the same guy, so that's Bob Muglia, has put up a post on the Silverlight blog, just saying, you know, we know we said that last week, but all will become clear in a few months' time at their next show in, I think it was May or June next year.
So that's going to give them a few months to think what their next plan is.
Oops. And just you mentioned Windows Phone 7 devices. Every Microsoft employee is getting one.
That's old news, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, we knew that about ages ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was just a quick way of them getting that many users on board. It's like 89,000 odd employees, isn't it?
Yep. And it was another 1,000 handed out last week at the PDC conference.
They're going to get brilliant first day sales.
No, it does get a lot of people talking about it. You know, if you're using the phone and absolutely. Twittering and all that kind of good stuff.
So it's cost them 20 million to do that. Is that what they're saying?
20 million.
But how much money do they spend on an advertising campaign? You know, mega bucks. So probably quite a cheap way of advertising.
They've given away what it costs to set up Bleco, basically. Class.
Right, on to Adobe Digital Publishing Suite. Now, this is quite exciting. So this is, now that Adobe are allowed on the iPad platform, or in fact the iOS platforms, with their cross-platform compiler, they have now released, or are going to release, their way of publishing newspaper articles, newspapers and magazines, basically straight to any device that you own. It's quite exciting, and especially for a publisher, they can take their InDesign files, which is pretty much industry standard now, and just convert them into online digital distribution. Sounds good.
Sounds great. I think it's a no. I'm what do you want me to say?
I don't know. Woo-hoo. Yeah. Excite me with what you're going to say.
Well, I just think they're probably the only company doing this right now,
which amazes me.
One of the things that annoys me about the iPad, and I'm not being kind of negative because I'm thinking about an Air, just before you make that mental leap and think, here it goes, here it comes.
He's looking for the chinks in it. He's looking for the chinks.
One of the issues, it's not with the iPad itself, it's with a different, every magazine vendor has done something different. So when you go to navigate and read, it's just ever so subtle differences.
Because they've had to.
Because I've had to, because I've chosen to, because they think their way is a better way. And I still think Apple missed a trick by just upfront saying, here's this digital publishing suite that Adobe's doing. And not use Adobe's, but do it themselves. And say, bring your InDesign file or bring whatever it is. Here's how you publish it. It gets thrown up into an app. Navigation's the same. A bit like on the Kindle, how you've all got your different subscriptions, we'll do all that side of things, give us a cut and we'll save the industry. All that stuff that was rumoured, I just think it's a massive miss.
I think we all said it at the time that we all thought that was coming, and it feels
really fragmented now. You know, a wired app that, you know, when it first came out was really quite, it was okay but a bit clunky, and then the next update came out and did it slightly differently, so you had to re-download that first 500 meg issue.
There's no saying though that this is going to be any less clunky, especially to start with.
Absolutely not.
Because to do something cross platform and, you know, cross publication could well be quite clunky. But they've proved they can do things like this in the past, and I'm sure that they can going forward. So yeah, I think it's a good sign.
And it supports subscription options. They've got all the analytics plugged in as well. And it's in a price, it initially sounds a lot, $700 a month, but that's per publisher, not app.
I can say, for a big publisher, that's nothing.
It's nothing, and I can also see, you know, smaller firms stepping up and saying, yeah, we'll do that for you.
It's enough. If it gets, especially early doors, if it gets you onto a wider platform, if you get in there early, you
gold.
Can gain some readers.
Well, I think the wired apps were, I think the first issue was 70,000 downloads. And that compares, I'm sure they were saying it was something like, I don't know, it was a subscription of 40,000. So there's a lot more people went and got the digital version. And in the next issue, I think it's averaging at about 30,000.
So it's nearly as much as their old paper distribution was.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's pretty amazing.
Yep.
So we shall watch that with interest, especially because it is cross-platform. It's not just tied to any platform. It's good. Adobe Air 2.5. So obviously we've had some Adobe announcements, so this is one that sort of ties into the back of that. But you were quite excited or interested in it.
The only reason being, I don't really give too much for Air because it's it's there and it kind of works. But the apps are never as good as native apps, and certainly on the Mac anyway. I don't know what it's like on the older Windows.
I don't think I've got any on installed, so I don't really know.
Yeah, but the interesting thing was that Air is also coming as standard in RIM's BlackBerry Playbooks. This is their tablet, the mythical tablet that allegedly is coming out next year.
The mythical tablet is allegedly coming out.
Yeah.
With an alleged operating system made on Air.
And it might cost money. And at first it just looked like, oh yeah, the Air's there, so you can you'll be able to cross-platform and you can get your games on there and etc. And you thought, oh yeah, it's quite nice. But then you find out the Playbook's entire UI is built on Air.
The whole thing.
And if you go to the RIM's Tablet OS dev page, it says initial release of the BlackBerry Tablet OS SDK allows developers to create Adobe Air applications, leveraging Adobe design and development tools. The BlackBerry Tablet OS SDK for Adobe Air allows you to create rich, powerful applications like never before. Seemingly the whole thing is just built on Air.
Which is
really strange.
It's strange to have your whole operating system running off of cross-platform code, because that comes with inefficiencies, basically, that you're not leveraging anything like the full power because it has to do interpretation.
And again, I think it's a great opportunity for Adobe and just, I don't know, for RIM, I'm a bit confused.
But then again, if it's proved to be fast and efficient enough, you've got a platform there with an immediate ecosystem of, well, first of all, lots of developers that already use that. Secondly, it is dead quick to produce an Air application if you know what you're doing.
Yep. Well, straight away, my thought was for more for the workplace. I'm kind of keen to get tablets in there. We can't get any iOS devices due to some encryption issues.
Like lack of?
No, it's just they've just not been accredited properly. So I've got certain, the firm I'm with, we've got certain restrictions that we can't just say, oh, it's encrypted, that's good enough. It's got to go and pass, certain tests they've not passed.
And that's the kind of thing that RIM are good at.
So. And I know already, and certainly the BlackBerries we use do pass, but everything's disabled on them, so.
You can't actually do anything.
No, apart from the kind of basic messaging and emailing, you're kind of very restricted, but they have passed, so. I'm just looking at any angle where we can look at using a tablet device, and if I can develop an app that I can use on a desktop and on a tablet, well, hey.
Sorted.
Sorted indeed. So it's certainly very interesting.
What was not sorted, though, was the iPhone daylight savings bug. So it's seemingly if you had a particular type of appointment set, the daylight saving change meant that did your alarm go off an hour early or late, or did it go off twice?
No, it went off an hour late. So if you've set your alarm to be smart, like I only want it in weekdays and not at the weekends, please, because I like to lie in bed.
Which is pretty standard when you thought, I go to work in the week, I don't at weekends, therefore differences.
Yes. So I think out of our small dev team this morning, I think three guys were slightly late and like, ooh, my alarm didn't work. So,
if you knew about the bug beforehand, you just use it as a good excuse, surely.
But the bug was known about, when it affected New Zealand and Australia, and nobody really thought anything about it because Twitter was alive with, oh, my alarm failed this morning.
Yeah, so America are very likely to have it as well unless they, in the next 6 days, have an update sent out.
Yes, and they did say that everybody's assuming it's fixed in 4.2, and they did say 4.2 is November.
So maybe early November. And
4.2 would bring all that goodness that to the iPad as well.
Yes, you're looking forward to that day.
So if that comes sooner rather than later, then that's a good thing in my book.
Indeedy.
But yeah, a bit of an embarrassing bug, actually.
Well,
made me chuckle.
It's not the first device to ever get confused by daylight savings, is it?
No.
Kindle time. Oh, so I'm still yes. enjoying my Kindle.
How many books you read this week? I'm going to ask you this every week.
I have probably read...
A page?
No, I've probably read half a book.
Oh, no. You're going to say it's like...
Which for me, if you consider
Hold on. Was it Winnie the Pooh?
Noah's the Gruffalo. No. No, I'm reading old classics because they're free at the moment.
Oh, so you. Fine.
So I'm halfway through Oliver.
Please, sir, I want some more.
Exactly.
Oh, I've got a vision of you now. Can see you with a little Kindle in your hand. Please, sir, I want so more books.
So if you analyse how much I was reading before, which is pretty much nothing, to how much I'm reading now, it's millions of percent improvement.
So basically you're the Leonard one now amongst us.
Something like that.
To be fair, but Henry was always a Leonard one. He's definitely the one.
I'll tell you what, it makes reading a piece of, you know, really easy. You know, with all that annoyance of where you're trying to find the angle that you want to read at. Yeah, exactly.
This is worse. This is weaker than me and my blooming MacBook Air nonsense. That is weak.
You don't have to turn the corner of the page because, you know, it clicks on straight into where you need to go and away you go. And tell you what's really nice is just being able to make the text bigger.
Oh, it's a sign of old age.
Exactly.
Should have went to Specsaver.
You know when you read a book before where the text is just too small and you keep reading the same line because you keep going back to the beginning?
No.
We don't have any of that.
I've never had that. Basically because I don't read books. So.
Yeah, I'm still really enjoying it. But they have released or announced some of their kind of next steps.
And I read this about steps. 2 hours after. There was a tweet about 2 hours after we finished last Friday's podcast.
That's right.
I was like, damn.
So we just missed out on some real breaking news.
Yes.
But now it just feels old.
Are you doing it or shall I?
So basically they are running out their periodical subscriptions across all of their different apps, not just on the Kindle itself, but across all their other platforms.
Which
is
excellent.
So iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch. So it's another Android. One of the, you know, and Android chip, sorry, and the basic PC. Sort of PC and Mac apps, basically.
Yep, everywhere.
So it's another play for this publishing market, which they look like they might get in there just ahead of Adobe, perhaps.
Well, I still think this is far easier than buying a paper.
And when I guess what Adobe are trying to do is to add that extra layer of multimedia aspect to it, whereas what Kindle are trying to do is literally just get the equivalent of the paper one straight into your devices.
And if this all takes off, news agents are going to get so screwed. So a lot of people.
Yes, I don't know how much money. Thing is, I don't know how much money news agents make on papers, but I assume that they use papers to drag people in to buy.
A lot of people went to buy a paper and got other things.
That's it. So they get the sort of secondary sale.
Mm.
So basically, they've announced that they're going to do that. I mean, they're saying it's going to come to sort of iOS devices first and Android later, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. But that sounds like a good idea. And say. Perhaps if they get wider publications doing this, they'll actually, the cost will come down slightly, which is not a bad cost already if you compare it to the paper-based ones. But in relation to sort of what we're used to paying on, say, app stores now, you know, your pennies rather than pounds, I think it could come down a bit.
And I think that's why people still feel the sting, that it's like a pound for a newspaper. It just feels a bit like, ooh.
I mean, I reckon. Say, I guess they've got to wait for a bit of market penetration.
Depends. Did you buy newspapers?
I occasionally I go through stages of buying newspapers. Yeah,
and it's like, but how much do you read? Do you force yourself to read everything, or do you just pick bits you want to read? And do you feel you get value out of that? You know, some people read it cover to cover and read everything, and other people just, I'm not reading that. It's rubbish.
I normally flick through a newspaper. I mean, that's what. In this world where we can pick and choose what we do want to read, I think more and more, you know, paper newspapers are becoming irrelevant.
Mm.
So pennies rather than pounds, I think you
especially
get a lot more
Daily
sales.
Mail.
That just needs to be burnt. It's good kindling. Also, they have announced, in a trying to scupper Barnes and Noble's e-reader way, that they are going to allow book lending.
Yes.
You may only lend a book once, though, and only for a period of 14 days. And during the time you're lending it, you can't read it yourself. Which all seems a little bit restricted. So, and plus, it's up to the publisher whether that you can actually lend a book or not.
I was explaining this to one of the guys that I work with, and he was like, that's a disgrace. And I went, what do you want him to do? He says, well, I should just be able to lend it to anybody. And I went, but I says, but what then stops me setting up a book club, inviting 500 people? We buy 500 books, one each. We all loan it to each other.
And I guess it's also a step in the right direction. Okay, you could argue that, you know, if you've bought a book and it's on your shelf, you can lend it out. But obviously, you can only lend it out to one person. But you could do that repeated times.
And the thing is, it's not, I mean, obviously, I think Amazon would be quite happy. Maybe not so much lending, but I'm sure they want to do like a second-hand market. I'm sure that's all there on the where they'd like to go with this. You know, if I've got a book and I've read it and not? I want to sell it, let me sell it.
Yeah. But
I'm sure the publishers don't want that.
No, and this is where it comes down to. Publishers are still stuck a bit in the old days. But I would say this is a step in the right direction.
I'm sure that...
When they see that it's not the end of the world and actually might enhance sales... They might actually click onto it maybe it becomes a bit more lax.
I know people that have considered the Kindle, and the one reason they've been put off is the fact that, well, when I buy a book, I usually lend it to my friend or my father or my brother or my wife or whatever. And I think there's up to five people can use the same Amazon account. So there is a bit of scope in there for, you know, with a little pool of people. Can all point to the same Amazon account and buy books.
And it's a brave new world. It's just a matter of letting some companies catch up with that. But what this says is that Amazon are able to implement this across their existing devices, which is a good sign.
Yes.
In that, you know, going forward they can add more features in, or, you know, different tiers of this, you know, lendableness.
Yep. But we should also note they will all be lendable, and it's up to the publisher or the rights holder.
Yes.
So it's not going to be like every book on your Kindle is now lendable. It's only for the ones that the publishers say, yeah, crack on.
And you'll probably find that while publishers have a choice in that, they probably won't let it happen.
Oh, I think...
Unless people badger.
There'll be a few dipping of toes, I would expect.
Yeah.
Because I can't see them announcing this or developing this unless somebody's already said, yeah, we'll go for that.
Samsung Galaxy tablet. They have actually now come out and told us how much it's going to cost.
It's on sale today.
It's actually out, yeah.
Yeah, the queues were...
nowhere to be seen. Short. They have come out and said it's on £599 pay as you go.
Actually, I take it that's on O2, but basically everybody's selling it.
Right.
So, and it ranges from $499 to $599, depending on the tariff you take. You know, so how much you're willing to pay a month will dictate how much you're going to pay. In fact, I'm sure I saw a price of £99, but you had to sign up to a £40 a month tariff.
So it doesn't even have a phone in it, does it?
No.
But it was all about £40 worth of data.
Yeah, it was all about data. So, and that's why I'm saying it doesn't matter really which way you cut it. You do end up spending the same or more, you know, over the 2-year contract.
The familiar story, you know, is the same, isn't it?
Yep, yep. Now, the odd thing for me is like the reviews have kind of come out today as well. And the first one I read was Tech Radar's, and they hated it. They absolutely hated it. I shouldn't say hated it. They gave it an average review. I think it was 3 out of 5 or whatever it was they rate. And the pros were good multitasking. It's got flash support. And I'm careful with this one. It has a camera.
Why are you being careful with it?
Because the bad points were it was a really poor camera. It was really awkward to use the camera. Didn't do HD video. There was really bad jittery scrolling as you moved around the page. There's a lot of lag as you moved apps and used it. There was an oversensitive accelerometer, which they couldn't calibrate or switch off. Battery life was around 4 hours, not 7. It got hot after an hour of watching video, so it got uncomfortable to hold. It was Android 2.2, so not optimized for tablets, which has already been admitted by Google, so there's no big surprise there. It had a worse screen outdoors than the iPad, which isn't great. And 7 inches, a little too small for tablet. So I read that, just and it was like...
Yeah, and just to sort of balance off how dodgy it is to read just one review on the internet.
Yep. And Gadget. Perhaps the best part about the tab is that you don't have to worry about its sluggish performance. We've seen on other Android and Windows tablets. The entire experience is very snappy, and it kept up with us even when we had 4 or 5 applications open. On our taxi and video rundown test, which looked a standard definition video at about 65% brightness, blah, 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 they got 6 hours and 9 minutes. So almost the 7 hours that Samsung had claimed. And after spending the last couple of days with Galaxy Tab, we can confidently say it's the best Android tablet on the market. Now, it's not saying much given the state of the Android competition, but we can assuredly say that the Tab is the first true competitor, Apple's iPad.
So what we're kind of basically saying is we're going to have to wait a little bit longer to hear a few more reviews before we can actually say.
You know,
because it could be that TechRadar had a duff model.
But there's been a few people saying that exactly the same. Is it Danny Sullivan, Search Engine Land, I think is the website. He was the same issues. Very juddery, poor battery life. And I'm wondering...
Maybe Engadget have been paid.
No, well, what I was more wondering is if they just got an issue where, you know, out of a batch of 100, 50 are all right, 50 are rubbish.
But that's not a good sign either, is it? But until we see the sort of more reviews, it's going to be hard to say. I mean, the problem is that, the iPad is extremely snappy. You know, no matter what you say about it, it's just, it instantly does everything you
see that little, ask it to. See that little test of just getting an app or getting even just like the browser open and then just running your finger everywhere to see if it keeps up as you move it all around. What a great test.
Takes about 10 hours on my iPhone now.
Oh, bless.
Oh, no.
I remember you saying that upgrade was great for you.
I think in some respects it is. In others, say with it, I think just websites now is just. I think my phone is dying, basically.
Bless.
I know, poor little thing.
Well, as I said, it's a very quick, nasty test, but it does give you an indication of how responsive hardware, software working together is.
So we can't really draw any conclusions. You've obviously read more around it than I have.
Well, I read the TechRadar one.
Maybe we'll just have a.
I read the TechRadar one at lunchtime today, and I was like, ugh. That looks
maybe
really
we'll have a recap next week, see where it stands.
I still have it. I think the biggest issue I have with it is the 7 inches. I just think if you turn the iPad, you know, to go into landscape mode, so yes, you get your bigger keyboard and it is typable, but you do lose a lot of screen, and I just can't imagine how narrow that gets with the 7-inch and how usable it becomes.
Yeah, how can you use that
just,
keyboard?
Just becomes a bit of an issue for me.
Yep.
But yeah, there you go. Conclusive proof that we don't know what we're talking about.
but also conclusive proof that nor does the internet.
No. that's just in general.
Internet, which you can get down your pipes faster.
Yeah, Virgin Media, 100 meg broadband.
So they have actually started. Are they selling it or just what are they doing?
So from December, and it's a gradual program that rolls out over the next 18 months across the country. But from December, if you're in London, South East and Yorkshire, you'll be able to get a 100 meg download and a 10 meg upload service from Virgin.
And this is rolling out to their existing customers without having to upgrade, or do they have to upgrade?
No, they have to upgrade.
Service?
So you can register to upgrade. And it's £45 per month as a standalone package, or £35 if you've got a phone line, and then you've got all the different bundle deals, etc. on top.
So fairly expensive, but it's easily the fastest common provider that we've got.
Yep, and 10,000 have signed up for it on its first day. But bear in mind that's for interest.
I was going to say sign up. What is it? Yeah, it's not
for
handing
interest,
over money.
So that's not necessarily going to transfer into sales, but. I would have thought it's a fairly good indication that they're going to have quite a lot of interest.
Yeah, and say when you actually analyse how much, you know, £45 a month does sound quite a lot, but you know, over the year, what, you know, 500 odd quid, as opposed to sort of having bog standard internet like me and still paying near enough 400 quid for it. So it's definitely worth the extra money, as far as I can tell.
Well, I last
if you're
week...
in the world of internet.
I last week signed up for Virgin again, so I'm this Friday the 50 meg package will be installed.
So they're you've actually physically signed it, so you're back on their books.
I will be from Friday, yes.
So it'll be interesting to see whether you have any lag problems again.
What do you mean again?
Well, Virgin has always been known for their speedy network, but lack of lag. But I think that's probably been run through now.
I never really had issues with lag when I was getting the issues. My biggest issue that made me leave Virgin. Was they assigned me an IP address that was based in Ireland. So going to eBay took me to Irish eBay, going to Google took me to Irish Google, trying to play a video on BBC said you're not from this country.
And, I hope they've got that sorted for you.
Three or four support calls to India and Indian people telling me it's my issue, not theirs. They're not their issue. I was starting to lose.
Well, it is your issue. They don't care.
I was starting to lose the head, got to be honest. And then getting told your attitude isn't helping us. You can ram
that's
my
as good
attitude.
As saying, calm down, calm down.
You can ram my attitude, mate. Stop talking about EastEnders and fix my problem. Anyway.
Well, good luck with that. It is actually always a big step changing your provider because you just never know, do you?
Well, I've not cancelled O2 yet.
Right, so that's going to be there as a nice backup.
So I've got that for another month or another couple of months just to run alongside. So if I have any issues, I'll just cancel Virgin. You know, it's just one of these things. It's the upload for me at the moment. It's for uploading the podcast, uploading all these blooming images that take forever.
You're going to be faster uploading than I am downloading.
5 meg up.
How rude.
That is quite rude.
My speediest time, I'm over like 6.5 meg. Damn. I'm going to have to move. Right, so Nintendo, the forever making a profit company, has made a loss.
Wow.
What is going on?
Well, make something interesting then.
Do something.
Do something different.
But then again, PlayStation and Xbox haven't really done anything. Okay, they've done Kinect, which...
They've done Kinect, they've done Move, they're doing HD, they're providing a whole lot of services from their console as well.
And they've made their console cheaper and cheaper to almost be in line with a Wii.
And I think also the sales when the Wii launched, I mean, that kind of first two and a half years of just incessant demand.
I was going to say, I think everyone who wanted one
got one. Yeah, and everyone who got one realised there wasn't that many games for it, and well, there you go.
Because that's what, I mean, when they first launched the Wii, they were the only firm making any kind of money in what people thought was a loss-leading market.
Yes.
But they say it's just run out of steam.
And all it seems to be talking about is the 3DS, which I still feel is a bit gimmicky.
Well, and handheld, the market for handhelds is just shrinking all the time. It's never been that, when it first launched, it was massive, but we're talking years and years ago now.
Well, when it first launched, it was massive. And then I think they were the ones that targeted the kind of family, mums and dads, you know, getting women to play, getting your grand to play and all that kind of stuff. But that's just...
But they've got their Nintendo DS now. Why?
Yeah. They've got a Nintendo DS, and also a lot of them now got smartphones where the same games or very similar games are all there for 59p.
A lot cheaper, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So why would you go and buy a... And if I'm already carrying a phone, I think it's a... I've got more chance of seeing somebody playing something on a phone than they have pulling at their DS.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the DS was very much 3 years ago now. And it's hard to see where Nintendo go from here, really, because they clearly... I haven't heard that they've got another console in the pipeline, and something like that was going to take years to sort of get right.
They've had rumours about like a Wii HD, but I think they would have to do so much more now because the Wii selling point was always how they actually interacted, and that's now gone. You've now got the other consoles doing something very similar or better.
And I say it, people are quite... Yeah, I mean... And Wii HD, I don't think would do it really.
No,
it's not. Wouldn't make someone like me want to buy it.
No, nor me.
I think that maybe it's a sign that they're just slightly in the past, and they have to really.
I do think they target a younger market.
Sure, they do, but
older gamers. You know,
but without the kind of the unique selling point now, which was obviously in the interface. It's hard to see where they're
going to
go. Yes.
It had a great first impression when you played one for the first time. But it just didn't last.
I still think it's a clever little console, and it's still great for groups if you've got a group of you. But
are you going to buy a Kinect?
Probably not.
No, neither am I.
Certainly not a launch. I mean, I guess I'd like to see it come down a bit of price. I mean, I still don't think it's a bad price.
did you see, and I know I'm digressing, I know you're hungry. But you know how the Kinect demos had that kind of river rafting nonsense game?
Yeah, it looks rubbish.
Yeah, but somebody's come up with a peripheral, which is an actual river raft. So you can blow up this raft and sit in it while you're playing the game. I just thought, if that's what the next year of gaming is going to be, a whole load of naff peripherals for the Move and for the Kinect games.
I am intrigued by Kinect. I think the technology is quite clever. I am intrigued to see what developers end up doing with it.
A whole host of Wii games.
I'd also be interested to see what it's like. So I, you know, if a mate buys one, I'd quite interested to go and actually see it in action. But in reality, I just think that it's not going to be very much to interest me.
No.
But then again, if I'm down the shop. I know there's an offer on, you never know.
What is that kind of Kindle price?
Exactly.
Basically, anything around £100 is yours.
Anything around £700 is yours, yeah?
No.
So, PlayStation Phone, which has been rumoured for a while now, and they've actually released some, I guess it's prototype. But they're not far from release.
No, I think they've been leaked. And initially they said, but this is rubbish. And then they said, by the way, this might be a product that we are or are not working on.
Yeah. So imagine a PSP where it's just a phone. That's it.
Really, I was just thinking it's a phone with a slide-out controller.
Well, I've been saying about having some buttons to make gaming useful. So actually, maybe it's onto something. It's got a good brand. It's what I said, so obviously it's, you know.
Obviously it's great.
It must be the right thing.
It's Android 3.
Yep, so
all the tech specs,
that's
for the
gingerbread, I think.
Yeah.
Android 3 is known as.
Yes.
But I guess soon.
It's just a surprising thing. You know, from Sony, it's got Android and also no memory stick. It's micro SD cards. So finally.
Is it now?
Yeah, I was quite surprised with all that.
So let's see what they do. I mean, I think it's certainly got more.
Let's see what they do.
It's more interesting. You'd
said
than
that
a
with a Scottish accent, that would have been class. Anyway,
I'm not even going to try.
I can feel the temptation.
There's too many Scottish people listening.
What, three?
Xbox 360 has released its new dashboard in readiness for the Kinect. So that came down today down the pipes.
Yes.
So everything feels a little bit white and a little bit different and new.
So they've done away with round edges. It's all going square and they've made it, I guess, all navigable by your Kinect. And it all basically advertises the Kinect. You get little demos with the Kinect all plugged in and all that kind of nonsense.
But it's pretty much the same as it was. There's not great deal different. It is quite nice to get a new refresh every now and again, though.
Yeah, but in America, you get all that ESPN integration, Zoom integration, and Netflix integration, and Netflix searching.
Which we get now.
We get hee-haw. We get improved voice chat. You'll be able to hear me better.
Which is good. I'm not going to moan at that, but it's not quite as exciting, is it?
No. One other little thing that I did notice on the engineering blog that the Xbox do, there's a nice description of what NAT is and why it's important to have it nice and open. So if you're
links
not
in the show notes.
So if you've got a 360, go and have a look at that. It's actually well worth a read. It explains what it is and why it's important.
There we go. So that's our news. Let's wrap up this week with our picks. My pick is non-existent. But you have got a good pick.
Well, I have a bit of a geeky pick, and it's Amazon Web Services. So Amazon don't just like sell goods and don't just make Kindles, but they actually have a fairly massive web services presence as well.
Well, they support a whole ton of platforms, so they obviously run their own Amazon site off of their web services, but it's effectively a full cloud service for anyone that wants to
absolutely
ship into it.
But I guess it's just, I guess if you're outside the developer community, you've just not really got that kind of knowledge that's what they do.
Nope.
I've certainly mentioned it to a couple of fairly geeky people at work, and they're like, Amazon? In that kind of strange way. So you could sign up for their web services. I think it's been 2-3 years now they've been running these.
Yeah,
and adding more and more all the time. So first of all, it started off with Amazon S3 storage. Then they started on some virtual machines, and then there's load balancing. There's a whole host of stuff there. And it's a paid service, so the more you use, the more you pay. But the costs are really low. You know, so if you're just starting out, always a low-cost option. But from today, from the 1st of November, if you sign up, there's a new free tier for all new Amazon Web Service developers. and you get quite a lot of free stuff. And you know, so you've got a, you'll get 750 hours of free time on an Amazon EC2 micro instance running Linux. You'll get 5 gig per month of Amazon S3 storage. You'll get 15 gig of internet data transfer out and in. And you'll get a hold of, you know, your 25 simple DB machine hours. Basically, everything you need to set up a web app.
Not just a web app, a cloud web app.
Yep. So something that can chunter away on its own. You can set it up for free for a year. And even if you just wanted to go and dabble with these things.
Yeah, it's and I guess it just, for Amazon, the point of view, they get a lot of smaller developers getting used to the kind of ideas and concepts, because it can be quite, you know, it's quite complicated to get your head around how all these things work when you don't really have a machine, where you're so used to using machines and having somewhere a box that things live on, that when it goes, it's a bit, it's a bit confusing.
Yes, and so basically, as long as you sign up today, you get the next, you get that year free. Your free usage will start. Obviously, if you use above that, you'll be paying for it. So it's not just like everything you do is free. But yeah, I thought that was well worth pointing out. You're limited to one per customer, and you need to also use a credit card, because if you do exceed, then you may have to pay. So you need to tie up your credit card with it. And the main issue, or the main reason I have signed up for it, and I guess it's one of the reasons I'm moving to Virgin as well, is for the upload, is because I want to do proper cloud backup. I'm getting paranoid in my old age. I do my local backups, and I'm not happy enough with that.
I talked about my Jungle Disk, yes, which obviously that ties into Amazon Web Services as well.
Yes.
But I'm just interested to what direction have you gone for your backup?
So Jungle Disk was one of the software tools I looked at. But I've went for a tool called Arc, that's ARQ, which is Mac only. And the only reason was there's a number of reviews comparing Jungle Disk and Arc, and feature-wise they seem to do the same, but Arc always came out as faster and more reliable. And I'm saying reliable with almost like little bunny rabbits around it, because I'm only basing it on reviews and user feedback and what I'm reading online. The way Arc works, you set it up, you give it your Amazon credentials. So once you set up as an Amazon Web Service account, you get a number of credentials. You set that up within the app, and then you basically point it to the folders you want to back up, or you can see everything. And then you can set some limits. So you can say, well, I don't want you to run during the day. I only want you to run a certain time. And you can also set bandwidth limits as well, because one of the things it will do is it will upload a ton of data if you let it.
Yeah, I guess it'll just chunter away if you say do the whole lot.
So you can quite intelligently try and manage it. And also it's a bit like Dropbox in a way, it will keep multiple versions of a file. So you can have versions of files. So it's really quite sweet little solution. And the software's not free. I think it's $30 I paid. So
is that a one-off fee?
Sorry?
So are the only fee you have to pay
fee
now? Is
that the only fee you're paying is Amazon. And they're quite...
So obviously... You just have to be a little bit careful that, if you back up your whole system in the system like that, although Amazon's is not a great deal of cost associated, it does quickly rack up if you start getting into your gigabytes and terabytes and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess that's part of the problem, because some of the files I do want to back up, they are large. So,
but suddenly, if you do get this new internet connection, it makes everything a lot more relevant, because, say, for me, it's still irrelevant. I back up some essential stuff, but it's just too painful to do anything more than that, really.
And that's what I'll be testing over the next month, you know, once I get the Virgin account up and running.
Will be nice, though, to get in the cloud, eh?
Well,
because it does say you do get a bit clenchy when when things start going wrong on your local machine, and you think, oh, what do I do if it all goes?
And I do have everything backed up, but I back it up on a disk that sits quite close to the local machine. And
yeah, so my hard disks sit behind my machine.
Yeah, so one of the
and
other
I also
options,
have a disk in the actual machine itself.
One of the other options I have contemplated is, like, you know, when I buy a backup drive, is to buy two, and one week put stuff onto it, hand it over to a mate at work who looks after it, and at least I know I've got an off-site backup, which I know is going to extremes. But
I used to do it with my my business partner. Mm. We used to swap every now and again. It just ends up being a pain, though.
I know. And then you start missing weeks, and once you start missing
weeks,
once,
and then suddenly you find that you've missed a month, and then it's irrelevant anyway.
Yes.
So having something cloud based is definitely a useful.
And I think as bandwidth becomes more flexible for people, yeah, I mean, I'm quite happy to leave this running overnight. You know, just chunter away.
And as ever, but as they sell it to your regular everyday customers rather than to more specialist, bandwidth has to keep up with that, basically.
Yes.
Like they've had to keep up with iPlayer and all those kind of things, they will now have to keep up with offsite backup purely because they're selling it as services on their own, as their own products.
And Amazon today announced that the S3 storage prices are dropping. I think they're dropping between 9 and 11%. So not inconsiderable. So,
and
well done,
that,
Amazon.
Well done, Amazon. That is us.
Yes, that was long. Sorry.
Have you been promising cake to people?
Yes. So, thanks to John for the iTunes rating. I know I did kind of foolishly say cake.
Did you?
It's a bit like you still waiting for that Mars bar. You get more chance of me turning up at your door with it than me sending it through the post now. But yeah, or maybe I have sent it and the Royal Mail has let me down.
There you go. And quite frankly, if I don't get my Mars bar, then John's not getting his cake.
So you're going to get a shock one day, because one day I'm just going to be interested enough to send you a Mars bar.
This mushy mess is going to come from
and you'll open it up and go, what's this? I didn't order anything. I didn't order a vibrator this
month.
Those
kids been shoving through things through my letterbox?
Well, it'll be the fact it's vibrator shaped, I've just realised. Maybe I should send it to you and put a kind of big boy enterprises on it or something. Ha ha! Cha-ching!
Two can play that game.
Yes, but you don't know my address.
I have ways, I'm sure.
And I'll tell Shaq not to tell you. So yeah, thanks to John. That was really nice of you to do. And for everybody
indeed,
else,
and
please rate.
Anyone else want to do it? We won't give you cake. But in fact, if our promises are as empty as cake, well, we might as well give everyone £1 million.
I was just going to make the promise of we'll do some more podcasts in the future.
Hey, there you go. That's what more could you want?
What more?
That's where we'll leave it. So if you want to find out more about us, we are on digitaloutbox.com. You can email us, please email us, info@digitaloutbox.com. Twitter and also Skype, we are on as Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK, and Ian
is on Twitter as Sweeper and has a blog at iand.net.
All that remains is for me to say thank you for listening, and we will speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Can I get some food now?
Diplomatic immunity. Yeah, go and stuff your face.
Woohoo! At 9:17, I'm sure all the diet doctors say you shouldn't do that, don't they?
What's a diet doctor?
I don't know.
What the hell is a Jillian diet McKee? Doctor? Diet doctor? I want Jillian to lose McKee, some weight.
He was neither a doctor or anything.
Stop
else.
Stop eating cake.
Is that what I'm doing wrong?
Shaq for years just kept saying to me, stop eating cake, and see the day I stopped eating it. About a week later, 6 stone I lost. It's amazing. I could set myself up in business. Stop eating cake.
But cake is nice.
It's quite straightforward. Stop eating rubbish. I was going to say another word. Stop eating rubbish. Do some exercise.
Ta-da.
Exactly. How many people's careers have been made out of that? Maybe we should start up a fat boy podcast.
Says what?
What do you mean?
Today I've not eaten anything.
Yeah, we could be inspirational.
There's nothing inspirational about the size of my tummy.
Yeah, but you'd be the before and I'm the kind of slightly after. And Shaq would be the kind of...
People might notice the difference if those two pictures lined up side by side.
we could have the, in fact, the four of us are all kind of like, you know what I mean, you've seen Henry, he's like a waif. Shaq's putting on a little bit of beef. He's got a bit of a double chin roll going on at the moment. I'm safe saying it because he doesn't listen to this anyway, so it's...
Right, I'm off for my jog then, down to the takeaway.